It's just amazing. Something about young people, isn't there? And seeing God work in young people, it's just amazing. So keep that in prayer. We're going to be going to camp end of June. It's end of June. And so 26 kids. Amazing. Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Chamonix. Amen and amen. So last, I think this is week four, we've been talking a bit along the line of Babel, the Tower of Babel, and in Babylon. And we're going to continue in that today, seeing the power of God working in Daniel. The power of God working in Daniel. Has anybody here ever read the book of Daniel? If you haven't in a long time, I recommend to you to take some time and just read. It's not a long book to read the book of Daniel. It's powerful. And so today I want to talk about some things of what happened in Daniel and how that can parallel what God is and can and willing to do in your and my life. See, it doesn't matter who is against you. Let me just say this. It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter who opposes you. I mean, we're going to have opposition. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have opposition. I like what one minister said, and I've said it before. If you're not bumping into the devil sometimes, you must be going the same direction. So you know, because he's going to oppose you. Why is it? Because Satan does not like giving up any ground. See, he loves dwelling in darkness. And I've always noticed when I start making some ground, or God makes some ground in my family, or makes some ground spiritually, I notice the enemy will really come against me. And as you walk with the Lord, you'll realize you'll stop going from, God, what's happening, Lord? Why is this happening, to, aha, I recognize this. And Satan, you're a defeated foe. I'm victorious in Jesus Christ. So when he's coming against you sometimes, what he's trying to do, what he's wanting is for you to lose your confidence in him. Let me tell you, when he's coming against you, let me just say this, whether it's against thoughts or against through people, or situations, just know that's an opportunity to take ground from the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen? In Jesus' name. And so doesn't matter who is against you, doesn't matter who opposes you, doesn't matter who is more intellectual than you, more connected, more well-read, who's better looking, more polished, God will make a way and bless your life when you trust him. Putting your faith in Christ alone. Amen? So let me just read some scriptures. These are just a reminder and kind of a pretext of where Daniel was and his mindset and his heart and his life. And so you know these scriptures, so I know this will just, you know, this will just be a reminder, you know, to have the word just to remind you of who you are, what God has done in your life, and what he is doing in your life, hopefully, or what God wants to do in your life, and he can begin doing today. Amen? Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 3. Romans 12, 1 and 3, verses 1 through 3. And it says there, therefore I urge you, this is Paul, right? Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters. So who's he talking to? He's talking to church folk, right? He's not talking to the unbeliever. He's talking to brothers and sisters. Amen. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Who here is so thankful for the mercies of God? It's by the mercies of God. His mercies are new every morning. Did you know his mercies? I want to stop real. His mercies are new every morning for you. The struggles you may be going through right now, some pain in your life, just know that his mercies are new every morning for you. What we do is we say, Lord, I receive that mercy. I receive your goodness. I receive that grace. I receive strength for today. Lord, I receive that this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit ministering to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are open this morning. Thank you, Lord, that the receptors are up and the walls are down to receive from you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, that your presence, your goodness, and your grace breaks anxiety in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that you make us overcomers of fear. Thank you, Lord, that you're not the author of fear. Fear doesn't exist with you. Fear and faith do not go together. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But what has he given us? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus, for a sound mind. Hallelujah. Thank you. We receive of that this morning. Look, if you come here and I just give you a well-polished instructions on what to do and not to do, it will never change your life. Amen. But if the Holy Spirit ministers to you and encourages you, that makes a change forever in your life in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Even Paul said, I came to you, I was bumbling and fumbling, and I know I can do that too. And he says, I wasn't well spoken, but he says, you can't deny this one thing. I came in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he changed your life. He did miracles amongst you. He changed you forever. You can say, he said, you can say anything you want about my intellect and my speech, but you can't deny that the power of God was moving through my ministry. So thank you, God, that he still moves by power, his power. If it's just an intellect, then, man, we might as well just be in any other club you can imagine. But if there's life in the Word of God that changes you and I, then, man, it's worth being here today. It is worth being here today. Hallelujah. Brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. It's just saying, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to you. The messes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've seen, you know that title. I mean, I give it all to you, Lord. I give it all to you. And the finished work of the cross allows God to dwell in you amongst, in the middle of the good, the bad, and the ugly. It allows him to be in the midst there with you. It allows him to be comfortable living in you, walking with you in the midst of those struggles. Now, when they were at Mount Sinai and there was fire and smoke, couldn't do that. God says, hey, not even just you, but even if an animal touches the mountain, it's to be killed. Could you imagine? And I love saying this. At Mount Sinai, when that happened there, what, 3,000 people were killed? The day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. Amen. The fire of God brought fear one day during that time. During the new Pentecost, the fire of God brought cleansing and power and fire and boldness and strength and purpose. Hallelujah. And so on, whatever God speaks to your heart. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in this new covenant? Amen. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. When you allow Jesus to transform your life, transform your mind, it'll be evident that God is leading you and directing you in his truth and in his power. Amen. We don't want to get born again and get stuck there in diapers, do we, spiritually speaking? But to continue to the renewing of our mind, continuing for him to reveal his goodness, his grace, his strength, his power to break dominion of sin over one's life, amen, is only by the grace of God, only by the grace and the mercy of God, amen. Man, that's good preaching this morning. That's the truth of God, amen, amen. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And it says, for through the grace given to me, so Pierce Paul says, through this grace given to me to minister to you, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And I'll talk about that in a minute. A measure of faith. Conform to fashion like. That's what this means in the Greek. Conform to the same pattern. Transform means to metamorphose. Transfigure. I was looking at to undergo or be capable of undergoing a change in form or nature. This is amazing. It's like a caterpillar. That's what a metamorphosis is. It's a transformation. And remember in school, I went on video and looked at that transformation. Here's a caterpillar. And then they put, some of them are a cocoon and others are a chrysalis, they call it. And without this hard layer, their skin on the outside will actually hard, it'll change. And within a little more than 2 weeks, inside of them, all of a sudden, every part of their own old nature begins to break down and dissolve. And these new cells, which they don't even begin with many new cells, but these new cells begin to multiply and grow and expand. And all of a sudden, these wings begin to form and the legs. And then before 3 weeks, all of a sudden, they come out of that. The metamorphosis has taken place. That's what this means of being transformed. And, I was continuing it with, scientists can do some strange studies. So they took the old cocoon that they were in, and they tried to put them with the butterflies, and the butterflies couldn't wait. They didn't want to be near there. There was something that was in that smell or something to what they came out of that they tried to get away from. But what they wanted to do is go towards the nectar, the sunlight, those things that they were created to do. See, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as God begins to transform your mind, those old ways begin to stink so much. He said, I can't even go near it. I got to be into the honey, the word of God. I got to be into the honey, the truth, the light, the sunlight. I've got to be in that. Because that way no more, it just doesn't bring any enjoyment. It doesn't bring any peace. It doesn't bring any strength. It brings no purpose. And that's what it is to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. And the Word of God begins to wash over you. Amen? Let me just, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17 says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. This is Paul again, right? Even though we have known Christ by the flesh, we've heard of him, we know who he is, yet now we know him in this way no longer. He's not just a name. He's not something I see on a necklace or in a picture, right? Amen? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. We're going back to exactly what we talked about in the butterfly, in the caterpillar, is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ. And he's talking about, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me continue with a few more scriptures. I'm going to get to Daniel. Isaiah 29, 15 and 16. Isaiah 29, 15 and 16. Those who tried to hide their plans from the Lord are as good as dead. Wow. But there's no life in them. God wants to bring them life. God would love to save them, but there's only eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's only eternal security in that transformation that the Spirit of God desires to do in every individual. Did you know that? As you know the scripture, for God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to everlasting life. But those who try to hide their plans from the Lord and do things their way are as good as dead. Why do their work in secret? Who do their work in secret and boast. Who sees us? Who knows what we're doing? You know, you're thinking, he's talking about people who want to go a different direction, that we don't need the Lord. It's a part of society right now. So let me just say this as we wrap it up. Your thinking is perverse, is what God is saying. Should the potter be regarded as clay? He is the potter. You and I are the clay. But here he's saying, should the potter be regarded as clay? Should the thing made say about its maker, he didn't make me? I'm telling you, he's made everybody in this world. Amen. He is the author of all life. Amen. He didn't make me. Or should the potter say about the potter, he doesn't understand. I'm telling you, the truth of the Word of God is he knows who you are. He made them in the beginning, male and female. Amen. He loves you. He knows you before you were born. He knows who you are. He sees everything about you. He loves everything about what he made. Amen. And you can say, but look at the mess in my life. That's why that Jesus died. To take that, to give beauty for ashes. So that the true you, the butterfly, can and will come forth. Can and will come forth. Amen. See, Daniel and his friends find themselves no longer in Jerusalem, but in wicked Babylon. This immense societal pressure to be like everyone else around you. You ever been there? There's sometimes a pressure, depending on where you work, depending on where you are at. Sometimes you have a societal pressure to conform. So this is where Daniel is. Man, him and his few friends are by themselves. They don't know anything about their God. They don't care anything about their God. The old covenant, the old law, they're like, well, what are you even reading? They don't know much about it. They don't really care. But I like what 2 Corinthians, and this is the thing, they did not find favor in Babylon, right? They were living in an evil lifestyle so they could conform. They weren't golfing with Nebuchadnezzar. We'll call him King Neb from now on. They weren't conforming to the Babylon way of thinking. Let me just read this again, because now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is. Amen. Is the spirit of the Lord here today? I say the spirit of the Lord is here today. Thank you, Lord. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Just want to say it again, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Transforming, I'm not talking about born again and everything, I'm talking about your growth process, continuing to look more like him, continuing to see him, continuing to have him lead you, growing in your understanding and your faith in him. Aren't you glad for transformation? Aren't you glad he's continuing to lead and guide you? And I want to measure this one thing again to Romans 12:3. We read this, but I want to read it again. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Did you know even your faith wasn't your doing? Your faith wasn't your doing. To each individual, a measure of faith has been given. Let me just think, one thing I was thinking about today is reading the scriptures and taking in more scriptures and becoming more head knowledge with scripture. Sometimes I have to stop and think, Lord, I'm saying, Lord, am I growing into the faith you gave me? Or is it just head knowledge? I'd rather have 10 scriptures that are life to me in childlike faith than to have a bunch of head knowledge. We must be like a child. Amen. It's okay, that childlike faith. I would rather have 10 scriptures that are life to me, that I am operating in faith, than to know 200 or 300 scriptures that are just head knowledge. Amen. He's given, even the faith that you have, saints, and I have, it says to each person is given a measure of faith. Everything we have came from him. There is nothing you have or have done that will make you righteous or acceptable. Everything was provided by God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and on display through the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's trusting, it's receiving, amen, and sharing that with others, amen. Aren't you glad that the measure of faith that you have was given to him? What that measure looks like in my life, I don't know. That's him. But whatever it is, I'm saying, Lord, I want to operate in it and trust in you. Amen. To each has been allotted a measure of faith. Even your faith was given to you by God. Whew, that's kind of, whoa, it takes the pressure off. Man, that takes some pressure off. You can say, thank you for the faith that I have already, Lord. Help me to have childlike faith to operate in that. Lord, to operate in those simple truths of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, amen, to operate that in trusting you. And you know that now faith is a certain, I just want to mention Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. You know about that chapter? Now faith is a certainty of things hoped for. What are you hoping for and praying for, saints, in your life? A proof of things not seen. For by it, the people of old gained approval. How did they gain approval? By faith. By trusting them. By trusting God the Father. Did you know in chapter 11 alone of Hebrews, the word faith is used 25 times. 25 times. It is your faith. Just a reminder, I say it a lot. It is your faith that pleases God. It's your faith. It's not all your righteous acts. Now, we can have those things. I know it says, "And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then it goes on, but you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, out of that new creation, those good works come forward. Amen? But it's our faith that pleases God. Man, our trust in him, man, that pleases him. Put in your trust in the finished work of the cross for salvation. That's faith. God growing you and him in purpose. You have to believe that by faith as well. Did you know that? Because there'll be days where you feel like this isn't working. My soul, my mind is fighting against the word of God, the truth of the word of God. You've got to stand firm in your faith. Amen. Trusting in God. Trusting in God. Let's continue. Amen. I got to get through this quick. Where did the time go? Daniel 1, that was the introduction for today. So realize that, so we had Daniel and his three friends that were removed, relocated out of Israel into Babylon, right? And so Daniel 1, 19 through 21 says, and the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service as for every matter of expertise and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the soothsayers, the priests, and conjurers who were in all of his realm. And Daniel, let me just say this, I'm going to say this again. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Man, Daniel, the man of God, outlasted Nebuchadnezzar and his son. I think it's Belshazzar was his name. He outlasted the Babylonian kingdom of putting his trust in God. So let's continue. I want to read this chapter with me. This is good. Stick with me, amen? Good thing. I always say this good thing. This crew here loves the word of God, amen? Now, Daniel 2, 1 through 13, it says, now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, okay? And his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the soothsayer, priest, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand that dream. So these are the people, and the gods, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Neb, was putting his faith in. Let me just mention a few things. Nebuchadnezzar's spirit was troubled, not his mind, not his soul, but his spirit. He was shook to the very core of his being. These dreams were so vivid and so real, nothing like he'd ever seen, that he was shook to the core. Shook to the core. My prayer in the day and age we live in is that this generation would be shook to the very core. Not to bring condemnation or damnation, but to become alive, being shook to the core, that there's no other answer in life but Jesus Christ. We've looked everywhere. We've not found satisfaction. We've not found joy. We've not found peace. That they'll be shook to the very core to turn to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is full of peace and kindness. Amen. King Neb knew nothing about the God of Israel, so he calls on his soothsayer. Number one, his soothsayers. Priests. These are priests. Occult knowledge. Magicians. Black magic. These are what these people that were advising King Neb. This is what they did. Magicians, black magic, similar to what Moses faced. Remember when he was facing he'd throw down his rod. Remember, and the other ones, the priest in Egypt threw down their rods. Remember, and they turned to snakes as well. Although Moses, a snake, swallowed up their snake. So these soothsayers would read the stars to tell the future. I mean, we have all of, I mention this because we have all of these same things in society today where people are being deceived by enemies. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. So the things that Nebuchadnezzar and that society was facing is nothing new but what it's faced today. The conjurers practice enchantments, astrologers. Conjure up a spirit to speak. It speaks of, let's conjure up something. You ever heard that saying, hey, what did you conjure up this time? That's what they mean, conjure up things. Amen. It speaks of, let's conjure up something. It speaks to impatience. I have to have an answer now, so I will conjure up something. It's to act on impulse. You see, that's the thing where society, I mentioned that, I think it was last week, where there's an impulse in society now. Whatever impulse hits you to act on it. Whether it's people now, we see more and more people killing other people. Or even on airplanes, people going nuts. A society unlike what was like Babylon, where people were just acting on their impulses. In your impulse, you can go on the internet and conjure up all kinds of things now, can't you? We would never dreamt 25, 30 years ago as far as smut and pornography that you could just conjure it up right now. You'd have to go to a smut shop, wouldn't you? Now if you have a phone, any type of device, you can act on your impulses at any time. One thing that the power of God, as you grow in Him, is you no longer have to act on impulses. You can say, no, I'm not going that route anymore. I'm not believing that lie. It's not bringing me peace. It's not bringing me joy. It's not bringing me strength. No more. The Spirit of God says, nope. And He gives you the power and the strength to say, I'm not acting on my impulses anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How about sorcerers, witchcraft, practice magic, spell casting to enchant? How about Chaldeans? The Chaldeans, they were wise men. They were the politicians. They were the descendants of Babel. The descendants of Babel. Those who take pride in their heritage, right? I'm Native American, and then you take the blood test and find out you don't have a lick of Native American in you. My family was one of those. Taking pride in all their heritage and how smart, generational, look, pride in who they are, the people they were. You know, your life will mimic those who we surround ourselves with. We've said this for the young people, always a reminder. For all of us, a reminder. Our life will mimic those we surround ourselves with, those we listen to by podcast or TikTok or on TV or the music playlist. All of it, we realize in this world, it's all got some type of propaganda. It's got a message. Look for the message in what you're feeding yourself. Look for the message. It's not about a thing of standing up saying, I'll do what I want, and I have the freedom to do what I want. But here's the thing, is it helpful? Does it encourage you? Does it strengthen you in the purpose of God in your life? It's not about, hey, I'm right or wrong. It's like, Lord, is this pleasing? Does it have a message that lines up with the Word of God? Hallelujah. And so this is, verse 4, then the Chaldean spoke to the king. He had this dream. This is interesting stuff. Stick with me. The Chaldean spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants. Tell us. And we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb and your houses will be turned into a rubbish heap. Talking about a guy that operates off his impulses. See, he's in a position that no matter, there's no consequences. What he says goes. See, that's what Satan thinks too. That there's no consequences. He's been there since, you know, like since the beginning. And he gets away with generation after generation. But there's coming a day where all of that ends and Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. The devil and his angels. So he acts like he wants now, but there's coming a day where it all ends. Amen and amen. And you and I will be with him, rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. So he's saying, hey, you tell me what this dream is. I'm not going to tell you the dream. You tell me the dream. And if you can't tell me the dream, we're gonna you know, tear you from limb to limb. So you can imagine what that would feel like. And then we're gonna turn your house into rubbish. Means you and your family, not just you, but your entire family are going to be gone. So King Neb is so shook to his core, he does not trust his normal group of advisors. He is so shook that he does not trust his normal groups of advisors. Hebrews 12, 26 and 27. Let me read this real quick as we continue. And his voice, this is God, and his voice shook the earth thin. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This expression, once more, denotes that removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. A shaking, all those things learned on for comfort or wisdom or strength don't work anymore. A shaking in an ungodly governmental society doesn't take place in a day, saints. Doesn't take place in a day. It doesn't even take necessarily take a week or year, but it can take a generation to change those things. It can take a generation to change those things. It didn't take a year or 5 years, really, to get where we're at. We don't realize that where we're at today has been going on for a generation. No prayer in school. Teaching the Big Bang Theory, all these different things. Don't you know this has been going on for a generation? And so as God turns things around, we have this impulse that's got to happen right now. But God will, if we stand up for the truth, we stand up for the gospel, display his power, amen, trust him, God little by little can do more than we can ever imagine. Continue to trust him. Continue to trust him. We will see, as we will read in the book of, we will see this continual changing in Babylon that Daniel, God used Daniel over a generation. So this is what the king said. The command for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb. Amen. Impulsive society, whatever comes to mind he was doing. But he says this, but if you declare, this is what Neb said, King Neb, if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are trying to buy time because you have perceived that the command from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there's only one decree for you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream so that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. So there's no way out here, is there? There's no way out. All the things that have been conjured up and through time here, we're right at this point here for Nebuchadnezzar. He finally said, I don't trust those that are around me. I don't trust those that I hold in confidence. I don't believe them anymore. And I thank God even for family members, people that are close to you, that such a spirit of God would come upon them. They say, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe the lies that I've heard. I don't believe the lies anymore that I've told myself. Such a shakening can come to a generation and to the young people and individuals where they say, you know what? I don't believe it anymore. They're all lying to me. Tell me my dream, and I'll believe that you can tell me the interpretation. Amen. Verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is no person on earth who could declare the matter to the king, because no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this, or any soothsayer, priest, sorcerer, Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. And that's a lie, isn't it? He dwells with you and I in this generation, this new covenant. Amen. He lives within you and I. Amen. Let's continue. Verse 12. Because of this, the king became angry. What's new with Nebuchadnezzar? We're going to see with Nebuchadnezzar what's new. When does this guy not become angry? Because of this, the king became angry and extremely furious. Not just furious, extremely furious. And he gave orders to kill all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued that the wise men be killed, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. The order's been given. The time's up, Daniel. You trusted in God. You put your faith in him. God gave you a position of leadership, or he gave you a position there. I guess it was for nothing. This attack against you is unlike anything they'd ever faced. Can you imagine this scenario? To no fault of Daniel, he is sentenced to die. Not just death, but torn from limb to limb, and his house turned to rubble. We're not talking about an easy beheading. No, we're talking about something excruciating and terrorizing. So Daniel said, poor me, I guess we get our house in order. Let's get our house in order, because God can't heal cancer anymore. Let's get our house in order, because God doesn't work that way anymore. He doesn't do those types of miracles. So just get your house in order. Tell all your friends farewell. No, this is what Daniel said. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. Listen, with discretion and discernment. He was opposite of the society. He wasn't just impulsive. No, he used discretion and discernment. See, he was trusting the Lord for an answer here. Means he didn't get all, he didn't start flopping on the floor and wailing. I'm not saying there's not a time for that. He didn't start begging for his life. No, he used his faith. The faith that he had in God was used for his discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's officer, this is Daniel, for what reason is the decree from the king so harsh? Then Arioch informed Daniel of what happened, of the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him a grace period so that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Did you hear that? He says, give me some time and I will tell you that dream. See, he didn't know before. He hadn't operated in that gift before. He didn't know what God was going to do. But by faith, he says, give me some time and I will give you that dream and that interpretation. Instead of unbelief coming out, God, what happened? Where were you? Where have you been? Look at everything we've done. Look what's already happened to Israel. Look what's already happened to my family. Instead of declaring unbelief and anger and talking an impulse like the society around him, he used discretion and he said, give me a little grace period. I'll tell you what that dream was and I'll tell you the interpretation, but give me a little time. So what came out of his mouth? He declared the truth of God. He declared that God was going to not let them die, but live. I shall live and not die, so I can declare the glory of the Father. That's good news. Amen. Then what happened then? See, he declares with faith, God will give the answer. He didn't respond in fear, but in faith, because to each one has been given a measure of faith. And so his faith right now, he's going to exercise it, and he's going to activate it. Then Daniel went to his house, verse 17, and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter. He said, this is what's up, boys. So they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his friends would not be killed with the rest of the wise men of Daniel. Let's continue. Verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Not a dream. He was awake. He's seeking the Lord. He has this vision. So this thing was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, may the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Hallelujah! For wisdom and power belong to him. Is that a true statement? Yes. It is he who changes. This is awesome, and this is for today. It is he who changes the times and the periods. He can restore your life. He can restore your life. He can restore what the cankerworm and the locust have eaten. He can change everything when you submit to him in humility and give your life to him. He gets the final say. Amen. He gets the final say. Hallelujah. May the God of heaven be blessed forever. For wisdom and power belong to him. Verse 21, it is he who changes the times and the periods. He removes kings and appoints kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to the people of understanding. Who are the people of wisdom and understanding here? I don't know, that's me. I have to have it. Thank you, Lord. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, God, my Father, to you, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. So who does he give wisdom and power to? His people. When they ask for it. When you ask for it, say, thank you, Lord. I want to operate in your wisdom and power. I don't want to operate left to my own demise. Man, that if you're not very smart in the ways of the world, we need that more than that, right? You say, Lord, I'm not smart in the ways of the world. See, what's the word of God says? That the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. So saying, Lord, I call upon your wisdom. I call upon your power. It says, even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. You have given wisdom and power. He became bold. See, when the enemy comes against you, you are a warrior in the spirit of God. You can be bold. How did Daniel be bold? He says, give me a little time. I'll tell him that answer. That's being bold. God better show up with an answer. He was saying things. He was saying things that were not as though they were. Amen. Amen. I like what Ephesians 3:20 says in 21. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, how much more? Far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Amen. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Where's that power operating? Is it somewhere out here and we try to pull it in? You know, like the power bringing into the genie bottle? No, it's already within you. Amen. The power of God is within you. It's exercising that. Amen. And amen. Thereupon Daniel, verse 24 of Daniel 2, thereupon Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to kill the wise men in Babylon. He went and said this to him, do not kill the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. So God used this, I'm going to keep going on. He interprets this dream. So read Daniel 2 if you want to know what this dream is. For time's sake, I must continue. Verse Daniel 2:44, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face when this was interpreted. He gave him his dream. He told him his dream. And then he gave him the interpretation. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid humble respect to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and incense. The king responded to Daniel and said, "Your God truly is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, since you have been able to reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made a request to the king. He didn't forget his buddies, did he? He made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was in the king's court. See, let me say this again. Daniel, with no influence, no friends in high places, no strings he can pull, but because of the anointing on his life, is given a place of influence in a moment because he believed in God with faith. With faith. What influence do you have now? I'm talking about right now to glorify God in your family, your jobs, wherever, politically, in your family. Did you know all of us have a place of influence? And what I've come to notice for me, at least with my family and such, is it starts with encouragement. How can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help lift a burden? Something about leaders, whether mothers or fathers or aunts and uncles, whatever, willing to help lift burdens. How can I help you? You can have one little place of influence. And when you operate that in faith in that little area, there's no telling how God will expand. See, the enemy will come against you. He says, I don't mind you being saved. We can't do anything about that. But I don't want you having influence. I'm going to put some impulsive people in your path. The enemies are going to put things in your path to try to keep you from what? From expanding your influence. So what you do is you say, God, I trust you with wisdom. For wisdom, I trust you for strength. I trust you for your ability working within me to come against the enemy in Jesus' name. And I will declare your goodness, because when he went before King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, you're right. There is no man on earth that can tell you about the dream you had, let alone the interpretation. But there is a God in heaven who has shared this with me, a mere man, to tell you. And God used that to expand his influence. Doesn't matter where you are, what side of the tracks you were born on, right? God's anointing and you looking to be a blessing to others, God wants to continue to expand influence. That's how a society is changed, is by influence. Lord, so we thank you this morning for influence in our lives and areas. Thank you that by trusting you with faith, standing up with a kind heart. Sometimes you got to be a bull. I get that. There's a right time. That's where it says that God, or that Daniel, he was acting in discretion and wisdom and how to act in this situation, how to act in that situation, how to walk in kindness, how to stand up and say, this is the way it is, boys. But God giving you the wisdom as the worship team comes to expand our influence. Here's the thing, when you love the Lord and you love people, you find yourself having an influence anyway. It just happens. It just happens. But it can start with family members. It can start with that coworker. It can, whatever, that friend, that neighbor, with the power of God in your life to show that. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Amen. I want to read just a little bit more here. Can I just read another few scriptures? Are you scriptured out today? Come on, bro. This is one of my favorite psalms. I don't know if Bill has it, Psalms 37. He does. I just want to read a few scriptures. I don't know, as the piano plays lightly in the background. I didn't hear that, but something was funny. Amen. Thank you for joining the house, Lord. Man, isn't it awesome to be joyful in Him? Did you know we're called to be joyful in Him? In the middle of those things that the enemy bumps up against us. Amen. Because it's going to be Him that gets us through anyway. It's not, if it's you, that's where we get bogged down in the cares. When we gotta figure out how to make this work. No, we trust Him. We do our best. Then we leave Him with the rest. I love Psalms 37. It says, do not get upset because of evildoers. Anybody ever been there? Oh my gosh, I'm not even going to stop there. I could stop my own life there for a while. It says, do not be envious of wrongdoers. Doesn't matter who you see on TikTok or this or that, what their lives look like. Don't be envious of anybody because God has anointed your life. He's given you a purpose. You don't have to be envious of anybody. Amen? You're special to Him. And He made you in His image. He loves you. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and decay like the green plants. It says, look, this is important. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Just trust in the Lord and do what you normally do. Trust in Him, honoring Him, worshiping Him. Amen? Trust in the Lord and do good. It says, live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Just continue to be faithful. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep trusting Him. When you fall, get up and brush off your knees and say thank you for your forgiveness and continue forward. Amen? That's what it means. That's what cultivating faithfulness is. Say, I'm not going to give up. Delight yourself in the Lord. I love this. Delight yourself in the Lord. I speak this over my life and your life today. Say, I receive this. If you want to say, I receive this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Do you have any desires? Cultivating faithfulness is the key there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. You know what that's called? It's called a promise. And I claim that promise for my life and for your life right now. He will bring out your righteousness as the light and your judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not get upset because of one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not get upset. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be eliminated. Did you know that? They're being eliminated. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Wow. They will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked person will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. But the humble, amen. How many humble we have? But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Can you stand up with me? Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. And we exalt you today. Hallelujah. We belong to you. Hallelujah. We thank you for your faithfulness today. Amen. Are you glad that the Lord is leading your life? You know what you do? This is what I learned. You trust Him and say, Lord, thank you. I submit my life to you. Thank you for leading me. Don't allow your emotions to tell you, nope, He's not leading me. Monday morning, you're like, nah, he was here yesterday, but He's not here today. No, He's with you on the best day of the week, Monday. He's always with you. Amen. Amen. Can we lift our hands for a second, if you're willing, and say, Lord, I receive from you. Amen, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Lord, I receive from you. Just say, Lord, I receive from you. I receive from you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that even my faith was given to you. So I yield it all, Lord. I yield it all, the measure of faith you've given, my life, Father. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit leading me. Some of you at your work asking the Lord to give you discretion and wisdom, amen, as he gives you influence. Be asking for the Lord for influence around you. And when you do that, the Lord will start to expand that, amen. I don't know about you, but I want to expand young people, young men,
yes,
young women, to show them consistency. Father, we bless you. We thank you for healing bodies today in Jesus' name. If you're sick, he's still a healer of bodies. Thank you for healing bodies, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for breaking depression off of people's life right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that this word spoken today, that it's the truth that sets us free, breaking depression off of people's life in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe some today, Lord, like it was talking about Revelation chapter 2, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Man, he's wanting to fellowship with you. Let them in, amen. Let them into every area. What was the song we sang today that about giving them every area? Or I will make room for you. Can we sing that song again today as we dismiss? And if you're able to stick around, you just say, Lord, I belong to you. Father, thank you for continuing to strengthen me. Thank you for continuing to reveal yourself to me. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. If you need prayer, come up this morning. There'll be those that'll pray for you if you need prayer. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for blessing our day. We thank you for blessing this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.